Y'all doing all right this evening? Good. Praise God. Well, how many of you got to see the play this morning? Wasn't that great? Yeah. If you're in here tonight and you in any way helped with the play, would you stand up real quick just so we can honor you for your time, your commitment? Yeah, praise God. Man. It was really cool to be a part of that. When Brother Dan came to me and asked me about being part of it, he actually said, he said, we need someone suave and handsome, he said, like Pastor Bill. He said, an excellent orator, like Pastor Tad, or somebody with a quick wit, like Pastor Greg. And he said, all three of them are busy, could you do it? And so that's how I ended up getting to help. No, we had a good time. I mean, to be in the back and to just check all of the stuff out that they were doing, all the work they were doing. Pastor Hagen said to me as he was leaving today, he said, don't we have such talent in this church? And he's right, we do. People serving all over, bringing their supply. It's what makes Rhema Bible Church such a great church. Because people are always willing to give their supply. So thank you. Give yourselves a hand for that. So praise God. I want to continue talking to you tonight. Maybe we'll finish up about putting the go in our gospel. So I got my road here. I've got my notes. If you'll believe God with me, I've got a few more things that I want to say to you. We'll just do a quick recap. If you haven't heard the messages, I'm not saying go back and listen to them because I taught them. But partly I'm saying that because I taught them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you that there all of the messages that are taught here at Rhema are available. You can go on our app and you can download them directly to your phone. You can listen to them, but this message in particular, it just seemed good. The Lord began dealing with me after teaching personal evangelism this last year about providing some tools for people to help to encourage them to share their faith. Because, you know, I don't know the hour or the day, and neither do you, when the Lord is coming back. But I do know this, that time is getting shorter. And I also know this, I know that there are going to be some people that don't make heaven. And for me, I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be people I know or that I've come in contact with or that I've had the potential to reach. I don't want there to be somebody that I've come across their path, whether it be in the grocery, whether it be, you know, somebody checking you out at the store, or whether it's the person that that cuts your hair. It always takes me longer to get my hair cut because I spend time conversing with the people that are working there, that are cutting my hair. I take a little longer, and, you know, if you've heard me preach, you know, sometimes I take a little longer. Thank you for your rousing burst of silence. I really appreciate that. You make this so much easier, so I appreciate it. But I value people. I genuinely value people. And they're the most important thing on the earth. You know, I can't take my car with me when I go to heaven. Can't take my house. I want a nice home. I want a nice car. I want the only thing that I can take with me to heaven is people. And if people don't know Jesus, they don't go to heaven. And God gave us the message to reach them, and he told us to be a light in the world. Amen. So our scripture text that we've been going to is in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Or verses 13 through 19, rather. It says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And we'll stop there, and I'll just say, you know, when we do things in our lives, it is to give glory and honor to God. Our light is to shine so that people see us Christian, which means one like Christ. They see us, and it causes them to glorify our Father that's in heaven. I want my life to be such a light that people who are in darkness are drawn to it. Just something about a light that draws things to it. Amen. So far, these are the things that we've talked about, and we're going to move into some new stuff tonight. But I said this to you. I said the world is waiting for someone to go. And we gave you some statistics about the number of people who are billions of dollars are spent annually, people trying to improve themselves, what we call the self-improvement industry. Books and audio and going to seminars, trying to get better. So the world is waiting for somebody to help them to improve. We said this to you. We said that Jesus already gave us direction to go. And we gave you the scripture in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The NLT says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Be sure I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. Then we said this, we said you must choose to go. Unless we make a conscious effort, nobody's forcing us to do anything. We've been called to go, we've been commanded to go, but apart from us saying yes to Jesus, the going doesn't get done. Isn't that right? And then we said this, there were some elements to keeping the go in our gospel. Number one, we said that you must know the way. You can never lead somebody into freedom in an area where you're in bondage. You have to be free in order to lead them into freedom. Why? Because otherwise, you don't know. But we do know the direction to go to find freedom. The direction is move towards Jesus. Scripture tells us that we're looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So the message that we take to people isn't something else. It's not some mixed bag of religions. It is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Amen? We said this. We said we ought to be filled and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not just a one-time event. We are to keep ourselves filled up with the Spirit of God, sitting on ready to go. Right? When I'm going on a trip, I don't know about you, I always gas up my vehicle. Right? I don't put a quarter tank in if I got a long haul. I fill it up. So we stay filled because we've got a work to do. Amen? We said, you must know the way. We said, be filled and stay filled. We said, be a person of prayer. It's important. Pastor Hagen says that prayer is the power plant of the church. It's important for us to commune with our Heavenly Father. If you want to really know somebody, you have to spend time with them. Amen? And I made mention to you, I know my wife. You may know my wife, but you don't know my wife like I know my wife. I know her favorite restaurants. I know the places. Why? Because I spend time with her, so I know things about her. We get in the car, and I tell her, that argument that folks always have, just bantering back and forth. Where do you want to go to eat? Where do you want to go to eat? I don't care. What do you want to have? The best way to handle that is just to look your wife in the eye and say, girl, tonight, I'm taking you out for one of the finest meals you've ever had, one of your favorite places. You're going to love it. It's one of your favorites. Can you guess where it is? Wherever she says, call real quick and make sure that you can get a reservation. Okay. So you'll know some things about your life. Then we said this, we have to desire to see people born again. More than anything, we ought to have a sincere desire to see people born again. Because without Jesus, we know they don't make heaven. And the value of people is too much. It's too great a price to pay to spend our entire lives just doing our own thing, just keeping our heads down, hoping somebody else will reach somebody else. We've all got a work to do. Amen. So then, the last thing that we said to you was this. We said that we ought to go because the world needs us. Evangelism is every believer's responsibility. We said 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21 says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then we told you that you and I are called to be ambassadors. And we said this to you, an ambassador, if you're going to represent someone, you ought to do it well. Amen. Remember, I offered, if you were here, I offered to buy your Jesus fish. If you're not driving like you're saved, I'm willing to buy your Jesus fish from you so you don't make it harder on the rest of us. When people see you, as much as I love, you know, if I go to the grocery store and Sarah says, you know, we're having dinner and she says, hey, can you pick up a can of peas? I love sweet peas. Love them. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like vegetables, but sweet peas almost taste like dessert. They're sweet. So, you know, it was like an extra dessert for me. I like sweet peas. I like peaches. If Sarah's making dinner and she says, can you stop at the store and can you buy some peas and bring them home? If I buy a can of peas and I bring them to the house and she says, do you mind putting them on the stove? And I open the can up and I dump it in to the pot and peaches come out, I'm disappointed. Because I look at the can and the can says peas. Now, I like peaches, but I didn't buy peaches. I bought peas. And I say that as an illustration to you to say this. When we put this label on the outside of our can that says Christian, that is one like Christ. When people see what's on the inside of you, if it doesn't match up, it leaves them disappointed. And it makes it harder for everybody because our can's supposed to have peas, but it's got peaches in it. Amen? We have to make sure. And I said this to you, and I told you this quick story. I said, we got to be consistent. And I told a story about Dave Thomas, Wendy's hamburgers, how they make them with a white, red, and green with the condiments. They stack them the same way. He did that specifically because he wanted them to taste the same every time somebody took a bite. And I asked the question, and we left you with this. It was, when people take a bite out of your life, does it taste like Jesus? Are they experiencing Jesus? So the next thing then is you and I are to go equipped and empowered. God prepares every believer for the mission. One of the primary operations of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to empower us to reach others with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. When the Bible tells us in Romans 5:5, it says, and hope makes not ashamed. The love of God has been poured into or shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. It tells us two things. It says that the love of God is on the inside, and it tells us the Holy Spirit brought it when he came. He gave us his Spirit and he gave us his love. But that Spirit that he gave us, the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead, will quicken our mortal bodies. One of the things that this indwelling of the Holy Spirit should do is quicken us to go with the gospel. In Luke 24, verses 49 through 52, it says this. It said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We're to be endued with power. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8 says this. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria until the end of the earth. These passages tell us that this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is not just about us having Holy Ghost services, but it is about us having Holy Ghost services. We ought to be able to come together and have times of refreshing. We ought to be, you want to run? Run. Not now. Okay, just, you know. You ought to run. If the Lord has laid it on your heart that, you know, you're in here and you're excited and you see people running and you're back there and you go, what are you running for? I'm just excited. Those are okay. But that same Holy Spirit that will cause you to run, sometimes that Holy Spirit will cause you to shout. Just get you so encouraged that you'll be feeling so good that you'll want to shout. I didn't say he's making you, but you'll want to shout. So shout. Run, shout. Sometimes you'll get so excited, Holy Ghost will be moving in the service, and you'll want to jump. That's okay, jump. You can run, you can shout, you can jump. But when you walk out the doors, He ought to help you walk straight. And that straight path that He'll lead you on will always take you into the path of other people. He's a helper. We're to take this Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, the Spirit of God, and go into all of our world. Be prepared to listen to Him as He guides us and shows us things to come. The number of times reaching people as a pastor, before we came here, we pastored a small church in southern Illinois. And as we were pastoring that church, the number of times that the Holy Spirit would prompt me in areas so that I could help people, amazing. Just lead me in particular. There was one particular time, there was a guy that had been coming to our church, and he didn't have anything. He wasn't born again. He didn't have a car. He didn't have anything. We saw God do some amazing things in his life. But as things would have it, he was a baby, and he got so caught up in the blessings that he had in his life, well, pretty soon he stopped coming to church altogether. And I was doing everything I could to try to get a hold of the guy. I would call him, and he wouldn't answer his phone. I would go by his house, and I would knock on the door, not trying to embarrass him, not trying to hurt him, trying to help him, because he was a baby, he was a new Christian, and I knew that the enemy was just trying to pull him back out of church to get him living in the life that he was living before. Just knew it on the inside. So I would call him, couldn't get him. I'd go by his house and I'd knock on the door. I'd go by his house and I'd walk up real quietly. He was in an apartment and I'd hear the television. And I'd tap on the door and the television would turn off. Yeah. Wow, I wonder how that happened. One day I was driving home. I was on my way. I'd been praying about him because he needed help. And God's interested in people. And I'd been praying about him. I wasn't praying about him at this moment, but I was on my way home. I had preached that night. Once again, he had not showed up for service. And I was going to turn right, head to my house. And the Holy Spirit said, go by his house now. You'll find him. So I did. And I turned to the left and I drove down the road. And I could have just blown that off and said, that's probably just, you know, that's just me. That's just a thought that I had, because it wasn't audible. It didn't come over the Bluetooth in my car. You know, it was nothing like that. Just a knowing on the inside. But I drove by, and I found him sitting on a park bench. And when I pulled up and my lights hit him, boy, you should have seen his face. He was shocked. But I was able to share some things with him to help him to get back on track. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the greater one on the inside of us, cares more about people than even we do. God cares so much that he sent his only begotten son. So he'll, time and time again, I've had those things happen. I was driving down the road one day, not doing anything overly spiritual, you know, and the Spirit of God, I had an aunt, a great aunt, who said that she didn't even believe in God. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to go by and visit her. Now, I would never go by and visit her. Of all my great aunts, She's gone home to be with the Lord now. But of all my great aunts, the last on the list that I would just in the natural go by and visit. But the Spirit of God prompted me. And so I went by there. Went by to see her, knocked on the door. She let me in. And while I was there, in the twilight of her years, I led her to receive Jesus. It was just the right moment in time. And the Holy Spirit knew. So we go because we've got this power within us. We're to use this power that God has given us to be able to reach people for the kingdom. God knew better than we did when he placed his Spirit on the inside of every believer. So now wherever we go, you know, when Jesus was here and he had limited himself to an earthly, in this earthly ministry, to a body, if you wanted to get something from Jesus, you had to get to where Jesus was. If he was in Coweta tonight and we needed a touch from the Lord, we'd all have to load up and go to Coweta and find him. But God placed His Spirit on the inside of us so that wherever you go, there are people that are out there all over this world in different places, different jobs, different buildings, different venues. You're going to go somewhere else for Christmas that I'm not going to go. You're going to be in contact with people that I don't know. And when you get there, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same one that led my aunt to the Lord when I was driving home that night, is the same one that's with you, the greater one, who's going to empower you to be able to reach that person in your community, wherever we're at. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Being born again and then filled with His Spirit means that we have the power, the endowment of power, to be able to reach people no matter what their situation, no matter what their circumstance. This doesn't mean then, you know, people who are born of the Spirit, who get born again, we understand that they're born of the Spirit, but there's a difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with something. The same as, you know, my favorite pie is Kentucky Derby pie, and I can eat one piece of pie, or I can be filled with pie. Filled is nice. You know, when you have a good thing, if you offer me a glass of tea and you come up and I say, yeah, I'll have some tea if you give me a glass of sweet tea, and you pour it halfway up, well, that's fine. But if you fill it all the way to the top, we're going to be friends. Full is better. If I offered to put gas in your car and I took you to QT, I'm not. Just so we're clear. Okay. I don't want all y'all showing up there when I'm grabbing a taquito and... If I give you half a tank of gas, well, half a tank is good, but if I fill it all the way up, isn't that better? We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's something else. We ought to go with the gospel truth, proclaiming the power of being born again. The gospel means good news. And good news to somebody is that whatever their circumstance is, life can be better. And God needs your testimony to reach people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Notice it says, "Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of hope." I used to think that this scripture meant always be able to answer every Bible question. I think that the enemy would try to convince us that that's what this is saying. Because guess what? There are some things you don't know. And if you feel like you're not equipped because you don't know everything that's in the Word of God, that it might be bad for you if you go out and do something. That's not what the Scripture says. It says, be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. What gives you hope? What gives you confident expectation? Be ready to give an answer. When somebody says, at work, you find out that things aren't going so well. They're talking about layoffs and everybody else is sweating it. And they're like, I don't know why you're not worried. Why are you not worried like the rest of us are worried? Be ready to give an answer about the hope that you have. This confident expectation that my God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Be ready to give an answer that the greater one on the inside of me is making sure that I have the answers when I need them. I'm going to be okay. This job isn't my source. God is my supply. And so even if this job dries up, I'm going to be okay because there's another job. Amen. I used to preach a sermon based on Elijah and the raven. And we were from the country. And back then, people would go on pigeon shoots. They would find where a bunch of pigeons and they'd start shooting them. And I preached a message called, "What are you going to do if someone shoots your pigeon?" You might be in trouble if the pigeon is your source, if the raven is your source. But God's always got another bird. He's always got more supply. So it doesn't matter. It's not the job. It's not the bird. It's God that meets our needs. Isn't that right? Amen? Come on, I said it's God that meets our needs. And so we ought to be able to tell people, why are you not depressed when everybody is depressed? Why was I not upset when the economy was bad? Not that it's great today, but you know what? This economy isn't in charge of whether or not I can pay my bills. And it's not in charge of whether or not you can pay your bills. We just keep trusting God and believe in Him, and He always comes through. Hadn't He always been faithful? Even when I've done dumb squared, I can come to Him and say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. And if you'll help me, I know you can get a dipstick out of a mess because you got me out of them before. Amen. God is always able, and we ought to be able to give people the confidence that, you know what, because I'm serving God, I don't worry about those kind of things. I'm not afraid of what's going on. It doesn't matter if my guy got in office. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter because God will be faithful. Amen. Glory to God. How much time we got? Oh, we're going to finish. Don't you say amen right there. That would have been a lousy place. No. Praise the Lord. Last one here. Let me give you this. Go to make a difference, connecting hearts to heaven's purpose. Evangelizing's about more than just connecting with people. Although connecting with people is important, it's a valuable part of your personal evangelism approach. We ought to connect with people because they're valuable, but evangelizing people is not just about connecting with people. Because I can connect with people over hunting. I can connect with people over fishing, over a good television show. But it's about more than just connecting with people. It's connecting with people for a purpose. I used to, I don't anymore, but I taught college speech and interpersonal communication. And in those classes, I was developing my own theory about, and there are theories similar to this, so I'm not saying that in some braggadocious way, but what I've found in my experience with communications is I termed it GCI, or genuine common interest. God designed people with this innate desire for connection. And if you give me 10 minutes of conversation, I'm not talking about where somebody sits there like a stump, but I mean conversation. Within 10 minutes of conversation, and I've tested this out for years, but within 10 minutes, I can find something that we have as a genuine common interest. Something that you and I can both talk about that we could both enjoy talking about. Where I don't have to fake something, right? But we are supposed to be making connections with people, but it's for more than just this personal friendship connection. It's for a purpose. It's to help people to connect to the greatest relationship that we ever received, and that's the one that we have with Jesus. Colossians 3:16 and 17 in the NLT says this: let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God our Father. The more that we talk about Jesus, the more results we'll have. The more that we share our faith with other people, the more that in our connecting with people that we're giving glory to God. I can remember years ago when I was working, I worked for the federal government, and I'd be in a board meeting or something like that, and we'd be having our meeting and something good would happen. And I didn't pull out my Bible and preach. I was working, I was on the clock. But if something good was happening, I would say glory to God. I'm not ashamed of that, right? I had people cuss a blue streak in some of those meetings before, and I thought, well, if they're going to talk like they talk, I'm going to talk like I talk. And if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's probably me. Or you, or not you. And if we listen to someone long enough, they're going to give us the key to their heart. And if they'll give us the key to their heart, we can give them the key to ours. The key to our heart is what Jesus has done in us. God created us with these overlaps and intersects in our lives so that we could better connect with each other. I can remember it's been a few years now, but my dad has gone home to be with the Lord, and I was pastoring a church, and I had to leave the church to look after my mom and dad a little bit to help them through some stuff, and so I ended up getting a job in secular work. I was a director of communications for a college, and while I was at that college, it took me a while to get over the fact that I was no longer in full-time ministry, because I'd been in full-time ministry, and I'm like, you know, this is hard for me. It seems like a step back, God. Are you sure you know what you're doing here? This seems like we're going in reverse. We're growing this. We're just doing it in the opposite direction. So while I was there, though, I didn't realize it in the moment. I looked back and realized later that God used me during that time to reach people in the same way that I was reaching people in ministry when I was pastoring full-time, just in different scenarios. We went through a difficult time while I was there. I got hired by a college president who was not very popular. And if you know anything about higher education, you know that if the faculty doesn't like the college president, it's Katie bar the door. It's a big deal. And I'm the guy in charge of the messaging for the place. So there were days I felt like I was getting beat up. Well, there was one person in particular that I guess you could arguably, if you have an arch nemesis, there was one guy in particular that worked there that was an antagonist for the faculty who was just taking up the cause. And so he was on social media all the time, and he was doing all this stuff. People knew that I came to that school, that I had left a church, and they were like, oh, they hired that preacher. Yeah. I think when he first did this story I'm about to tell you, I think when he first did it, he wanted to see if I was really a preacher. He came to me one day in my office during all this volatile time with the college president and combating all this stuff. He came to my office and he said, hey, I hear you're a preacher. He said, our preacher just left not too long ago and we're looking for somebody to fill in. He said, would you consider filling in sometime? So I said, sure. And I went to that little country church and I preached on love. And over the next few months, I ended up being his interim pastor. Over the next few months, he and I developed a friendship where he would talk to me about the Lord and it would soften his heart. And I made an ally out of someone who wanted to be my enemy. And then God went a step further, and the guy, the denomination that he was in, was the denomination that my wife grew up in, where after I was a young Pentecostal kid who had backslidden, they had loved me back into the kingdom of God. And I went from the interim pastor there. They started doing some things at that college. I was like, God, I got to get out of this place. You got to get me out of here. I got to get back in ministry. You got to help me. It opened a door because they heard that I was speaking in this one denominational church for them. It opened a door for me to go back and pastor the church that my wife grew up in that loved me back in the kingdom. But it was because of connections that God had been making with people, genuine connections, and he used it to allow me to step back into full-time ministry and minister to some people there and reach them with the same message that I get to come here and reach people with now. And I tell you that story to say this to you, that wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, if you're waiting for an opportunity to try to reach people for Jesus until you're in some pulpit ministry or until you have the right evangelistic team to go with, or till they have the right outlet. Brother or sister, you're just wasting time. It's just wasting time. Because there's a whole mission field wherever you're at right now. And with the greater one that's on the inside of you, there are people that you can reach right now. There are unchurched people who need to know Jesus, who need a good fellowship like the one that we have here. That in these days that we're living in, they need to know the things that you know. And you don't have to wait until we get a bus together and go down and hand out meals at some location. Nothing wrong with doing that, but you don't have to do that. All you got to do is punch in on Monday morning at work and just say, God, if you need someone today to speak to someone else, I want you to know you've got a willing vessel in me. I'm here. Here I am, Lord. What would you have me to do? What do you want me to do right here where I'm at? And when you do that, if God is more interested in the lost than we are, how many of you know this? We don't have to talk him into reaching people. He's sitting on ready. He's just waiting for you to be a mouthpiece, to declare his goodness, to declare his mercy, to rely on the Holy Spirit to help you reach people for the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you tonight. As our altar care team is coming down, I want to encourage you. We're getting ready to step in to a new year. We're getting close. And I want this to be a year where you make a personal decision that you're going to go out and win the lost at any cost. You're not waiting around. You're not waiting around anymore. Now is the day. Today is the day. I'm starting today. I'm reaching people beginning today. Let me pray with you, for you, and with you. Father God, I sense in my spirit that there are some people in here, Lord, that there's a stirring taking place. As I was speaking tonight, Lord, there were people who probably you brought to their mind someone that they work with, someone that needs you, someone that needs hope, help, or healing. Lord, in that sense of urgency that they experienced tonight, whether they're watching online or they're here in this building, that sense of urgency about that person, I thank you, Lord, that you help them to keep that fire going. Those embers that have started will become a full-on blaze, Father, that you'll help them to help other people. That as a church and a ministry, Rhema Bible Church is going to go into 2025 looking, seeking the lost. Willing vessels. And if you're here tonight, and that's you, you're willing to consecrate, to dedicate yourself to a year of reaching others for the kingdom. Say, Father, here I am. Use me. Use me for your glory. Use me for your purpose. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to say. And I'm willing to do whatever you call me to do. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the open door. And whatever comes our way, no matter the time of day, we'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you ask us to do, oh, we know you'll see us through. So we say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you're here tonight and you need somebody to pray with you for anything, when we dismiss, these folks, we're so thankful for our altar care team, everyone who serves here, but our altar care team is just an extension for this church to be able to help you and to pray with you and set themselves in agreement with you. If you need prayer for anything as we're dismissing, you come down here. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men, come to the men. You know how we do it here. Let them pray with you, agree with you, and watch God work in your life. Amen. Well, we sure love you guys and appreciate you. Be here Wednesday for Our Power. Is there anything else, guys? We love you. God bless you. Have a great evening.